Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another in the series where we take our monthly column in the Lovo magazine into the studios of WOL and interview people about upcoming events in the arts. And I'm very happy to have an old friend and stalwart of the Lovell art scene, Jackie Roskey, with me, a past president of the Chamber Music Society of Lovell. Jackie, whenever I'm searching in my list of superlatives to justify the greatest this and the finest that and world-class this and that, as all arts groups so describe themselves, I really think the only one that qualifies is the Chamber Music Society of Lovell, because you bring in, n'est-ce pas, the greatest chamber ensembles in the world regularly to Lovell.
You're right. And also, we have been doing this in the fall will be 75 years.
Yes, that's a truly astonishing record. I mean, this year alone, the Jerusalem String Quartet, the Metropolitan Museum artists, the Emerson String Quartet, and you were telling me before we came on air that you almost ran out of tickets for that.
Well, actually, it was so exciting for us. We had people in line buying tickets, and they were in line for so long that we actually had to start the concert a little bit late. Not much, but a little tiny bit late, because people were still purchasing tickets, and we certainly didn't want to start when people were still out there buying their tickets.
You see, I don't think people would really... I think it would need to be explained to most people that if classical music is kind of a niche of a niche, concert music, then chamber music is a niche of a niche of a niche, and there can't be very many places in the world where you have to hold the curtain on a string quartet because of crowds mobbing the foyer.
Well, if it's the Emerson String Quartet, probably that's the case, although this is the last year that we're going to be hearing Finkel, who's the cellist in the quartet, because he is leaving the quartet at the end of the year. And they already have picked a new wonderful person, but they've been together for 34 years with no changes of personnel.
That's brilliant. I'm particularly interested, though, in the concerts coming up on April 15. And just to get the details down, April 15 at 3 o'clock at the Comstock Hall. And normally I would say, well, don't bother to book, just turn up. But you never know. I mean, after the Emerson experience, there is a number, 852-6907, which is the U of L School of Music, and you can reserve tickets in advance in case of a... What's so interesting about this, do you think, this April 15?
The April 15th concert is going to be really exciting, because really what it is two quartets put together, and the program is going to be consisting of two octets that are going to be played, both of which have never been played here before, because usually you can't get two quartets to practice together and to be able to pull this off.
The Mendelssohn Octet has not been played in Louisville, you think?
Well, I'm sure it's been played in Louisville. I've played it myself. But in terms of bringing people from elsewhere to play it, that becomes much more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, it's the Mendelssohn Octet that catches the eye, because people of whatever their musical background are possibly familiar with some of the... It's a wonderful work, amazingly expressive. And, I mean, you know, when you talk about child prodigies, I mean, Mendelssohn was incredible, wasn't he? I mean, he was writing mature and great music at the age of 17.
Well, I used to say that I think he was paid by the note, because when you play his music, there are so many notes in front of you.
Really? But, you know, things like the incidental music to Midsummer Night's Dream, which he wrote, I think, when he was 16 or 17, I think is some of the most ravishing music ever written, and many a bride has tottered down the aisle to the wedding march from that.
Well, that's right. Probably why people are familiar with his music is because of going to so many weddings and listening to that music.
Mm-hmm. Him and Wagner. The eye is obviously caught by a piece by Wynton Marsalis, because, of course, he's internationally famous and was here, if you remember, some years ago in the Kentucky Authors Forum, of which more later, being interviewed. And here's a piece called Hellbound Highball from a string quartet. So I didn't know he'd composed music.
I was not aware that he had ever composed music for a string quartet,
no,
per se. But, of course, he's a wonderful musician, and I'm not really surprised. Actually, in this particular concert, which is very unusual, all four pieces are pieces we've never heard before, which is usually we get maybe one, mm-hmm, but four pieces, primarily because of the composition of having an octet as opposed to a quartet. So we're having two quartets. So how we've set it up is the each group will play a piece as a quartet, and then they're playing an octet, and then they do another intermission, and then there's another quartet piece being played, and then a second octet.
That's very interesting programming. Really, how did this idea come about? I mean, obviously it's an administrative nightmare getting them together to rehearse and all that kind of stuff.
This is the part that's so exciting about it. It began as a suggestion from a woman who represents players called Lisa Sabakoff, and she is of Lisa Sabakoff Artists. And we were talking to her about doing the Mendelssohn Octet. And of course, that's the most famous octet of all. And we wanted to present it. And so she ultimately came back to us and suggested two quartets, both located in Ohio, one in Cleveland and one in Columbus. And they are the Euclid Quartet and the Carpe Diem String Quartet. So even though they aren't in the same city, one's in Cleveland, one's in Columbus, mm-hmm. they at least are within the same state.
Commutable.
So they could get together to work on this. And then the one player from the quartet suggested that they also do the UNESCO octet also, because that's an opportunity to get to do that. And it's a wonderful opportunity for people like this that are so excited about playing something that's brand new.
Right. And George Enescu is one of the leading contemporary composers. He's Romanian, judging by his surname. It's a name a lot of us have heard, but I have to be honest and say I've never heard a piece by Enescu, so that's a bonus.
Well, that is a big bonus why you should be at this concert.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You are preaching to the choir, madam, but none the worse for that. 8526907, 8526907. Can you tell me, because I know you're a violist of fame and distinction hereabouts, what are the particular challenges of bringing together one quartet from one city, a quartet from another, and having them play together? I do know that in a string quartet, they're not just reading the notes, they're listening to one another and making concerted music as a quartet. Does this become twice as difficult or eight times as difficult when they're two quartets?
I don't think so, because there are a lot of quintets and sextets written also, where you bring an extra cellist or an extra violist. And it's the composition is pretty much the same. Because it is chamber music comes in lots of size, shapes, and forms. Mm-hmm. And so you're just listening to each other still very intently. And the part that's really interesting with this is that Charles Weatherby, who's the first violinist of the Carpe Diem String Quartet, is the one that suggested doing the octet by George Enescu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other exciting part is the violist in the second quartet is also, they're playing a piece by her. She actually wrote the piece.
Oh, excellent. Is that Fujiwara?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm very interested by the title of it, Cherry Blossoms and Pea's Bottom. Cherry Blossom, presumably a nod to her Japanese heritage, and Pea's Blossom, a side reference to A Midsummer Night's Dream. Or are we getting too arcane?
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I know that those are the two movements, and that's the names of the two movements. It's actually called Fiddle Suite Montana is the name of the actual piece, and those are the two movements that have been lifted from it that are going to be done.
And I'm talking with Jackie Roske, past president of the Chamber Music Society of Louisville, about a concert on April 15th. At 3:00 in the Comstock Hall. And as I say, you can possibly turn up and get tickets on the day. But if you want to be certain of getting a place, the number to call is 852-6907. Jackie, any plans for the 75th anniversary, or is that still to be announced?
No, it's all put together. It's so incredibly fabulous. And I have to give a plug to someone that's being a big help to us. Commonwealth Bank is going to be the sponsor.
Excellent.
Of our 75th anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Which is something brand new for us.
That's wonderful.
But that's because we are bringing so many incredible groups just for this anniversary that obviously it's going to be more costly than what we usually have. And we always are very careful about that. So we're bringing five groups in that are just awesome.
Congratulations on 75 years of great achievement. My guest has been Jackie Roske, past president of the Chamber Music Society of Louisville.